Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. This is the last show of the year 2015. Again, live from Beverly Thrills, California. And I swear, as God is my witness, just as I started the show 30 seconds ago, a tree chipper has fired up outside my window. Yes, a tree chipper has fired up outside my window. The illegal aliens are busily at work today doing what they do best, which is use leaf blowers and tree chippers. And there's nothing I can do about it. So if you hear the sound of a tree chipper, you will know it is driving me as crazy as you. Is it coming through the mic yet, Robert? Oh, good. So it's only me being disturbed by it. Well, here's the show of the year. What's the worst thing Obama did in 2015? What was the worst thing Obama did in 2015? And what do you fear he's going to do to you and to America? The psychopath. The psychopath, what's the psycho going to do in 2016? We already know that he printed up, against the law, hundreds of thousands of work permits in violation of federal statutes to give them out to foreigners slated for deportation. He is a one-man band with no opposition from the vermin in the media and certainly no opposition from the puppet Republican government that doesn't exist. So what do you fear the lunatic is going to do in 2016, since there's no one to stop him? And what was your favorite moment from the Savage Nation this year? Do you have one? What would you like this show to do for you next year? What, in your opinion, was the best or worst story of the year? Was it Ferguson, Missouri, being funded by George Soros, burning to the ground because of Eric Holder, Barack Obama and Al Sharpton egging on the street crowds? Was it the refugees from Syria? Was it the Assyrians being overrun and fighting back? Was it the rape manual put out by the Hitlers in a headscarf called ISIS? How has this year changed you? Has anything happened in your life from the news? It's rattling all of America. It's rattling all of America. We know that the country is far worse today than it was before the lunatic took over, but it got even magnified this year. And who do you think, or what division of America's government has been most damaged by Obama's insanity this year? Has it been the military? Has it been national security? Has it been the economy? Has it been your personal freedom? This is the Savage Nation. We're open for business. If you want to get on the last show of the year, the phone number is 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. Before I take your calls, which are lining up like crazy, I decided to come in today, the last day of the year. I couldn't leave you hanging there waiting for the magic voice to come back. Obama goes on a liberal psycho's show. Jerry Seinfeld, as you well know, is Larry David's stooge. Larry David, as you well know, is an America-hating, anti-American. There's no words I have for the Larry Davids of the world. There's no words I have for the liberal Hollywood clique. There's no words I have for them other than say liberal Hollywood clique. It says enough. Jerry Seinfeld is a creation of Larry David, who is the mastermind of all things evil amongst the liberal community, in my opinion. If George Soros was a comedian, he'd be Larry David. If Larry David was smarter than he is, he'd be George Soros. He would just trade currencies against societies to try to destroy them. And so while Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld destroy a society with dirty jokes and filthy attacks upon everything of value in the country, George Soros does it more directly by trading against the currencies of the nations. But they're one of the same. They're cut from the same ice cream brick, same type. I went to school with many of these people. I know how they, I would say think, but that's the wrong word. They're purely reactive hypocrites, every last one of them. And they're destroying America and the world. So in the following clip, Here is the President of the United States of America, mind you. He goes on a comedian's show, and he tells Jerry Seinfeld, who's Larry David's, I don't know what he is, that many world leaders are crazy or insane. Listen to clip one.
How many world leaders do you think are just completely out of their mind?
A pretty sizable percentage. Well, and part of what happens is these guys, I think the longer they stay in office, the more likely that is to happen.
Of course.
Right?
They lose it.
Yeah. I mean, a certain point, your feet hurt and you're having trouble peeing. And you have absolute power.
I've always thought Jerry Seinfeld was a lowlife, lowest of the low, a man who got very rich based on very little talent, a puppet of Larry, whatever his name is, Larry David, Larry David's anti-American strains. And this has hit a new low for Jerry Seinfeld, but it's actually a new low for the White House, which has already debased itself. Barack Obama has taken the White House to new lows. Each day it's a new low. And he goes last night on this guy's show on a crackle coffee clatch, whatever that may be, in a show of some kind. And then he's asked in the next clip about sports and politics. To him, it's all a joke. Clip two, please.
What sport is politics?
That was a good question. It's probably most like football.
Football.
Yeah, because a lot of players, a lot of specialization, a lot of hitting.
A lot of attrition.
But then every once in a while, you'll see an opening.
Uh-huh.
Right? So you're going to be, you know, you hit the line, you get 1 yard.
Right.
You try a play, you get sacked. Now it's like third and 15.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, you have to punt a lot. But every once in a while, you'll see a hole, and then there's open field.
Jerry, you did such a good job. You must be making your mother and father proud in Brooklyn. Your ancestors must be turning over in their grave that you would prostitute yourself like this. But I suppose, Jerry, that they're used to it by now. It's a sad thing for me to have to say these things. I don't take any pleasure in it. But how long ago was it that a very wise man gave a speech before the Commonwealth Club in which he said, beware the government media complex? Well, I'm the man who gave that speech in 1998 at the Commonwealth Club, and I warned you, beware the government media complex. And just as other dictators have had their comedians to soften up the population for further assaults upon their freedoms, we also have that type of collaborator in this country today. Some of them are billionaires as a result of their collaboration. You just heard one. This is the Savage Nation. We're open for business. Let's go to some of the callers. WMAL Jeremy, go ahead, please, on what are you calling this last day of 2015?
My favorite day of the year was when you called Bernie Sanders just like you saw him.
Oh, you mean when I imitated his voice?
Well, better than that. I mean, if a Jewish person calls it the way you see it, then you're not an anti-Semite for saying it.
Well, I didn't call him anything about his religion. I just imitated his very heavy brogue.
Well, either way. Socialism.
All I did was imitate his brogue. I mean, that's not illegal, is it? All right, you get a free copy. I'm giving them away today. Everyone who gets up through the call screen and gets a copy of Government Zero, stay on the line. 855-407-2822. WBOB, Jim, next up on the Savage Nation, what's your comment?
Michael, congratulations. Happy New Year to you. I'd just like
What do you mean? Congratulations on what? Surviving the tree chipper outside the window?
Yeah.
It's just started, by the way. I have 3 hours now to listen to a tree chipper outside of a home studio. Let me tell you something. Home studios are not what you may think they are. Everyone says, wow, I wish I could go work in my living room. Let me tell you something. There's a few drawbacks like the one I have today. Here I'm sitting in this beautiful house, and the illegals show up with a truck with a tree chipper. That's really comedic. Somebody up there loves me. What's on your mind?
Okay, Michael, I wanted to talk about what I want in the new year for you. I think you can take one topic, whatever it is, rally a certain number of calls, let's just say 20 to 30 calls, get a consensus we can drill down even further. And I think you'll be really surprised. And I think you did a great job.
Wait, explain to me what you mean by drill down. You mean stick to one topic?
Well, you know, yeah, at least for 1 hour, but you can try it for 30 minutes. But what you've got to do is basically have the callers top whatever they're pitching to you, see if we can top that, so to speak, almost a game.
Well, I'm not so sure. Radio is about audience interest. You stay on one topic too long, people are going to start turning the dial. They can't listen to it for much longer than honestly, the average listener will listen to a show like this for a certain number of minutes and then switch the dial. I have the longest TSL in the business. I always have. My listeners have a longer attention span, but there's a limit to it. The TSL is time spent listening. The last I checked, I have the longest TSL in the business because my listeners tend to want to get into a topic. But you can also do, you know, go too far with that. What do you think is the worst thing Obama did in 2015?
I would say not screening the, you know, as far as the TSA, not screening immigrants coming in.
What do you want to screen people? If you want to spread disease and terrorism, why would you screen them? You would screen them in their home country, and you get those who could cause most mayhem to come in and usher them into a nation that you hate. I mean, you're not thinking the way he does. I mean, if you hate a nation and you want to transform it, what you do is you bring in people who are sick. You know, I should do this whole show today on this. You want to talk about one show? I am a trained epidemiologist. If I read you the diseases that are being brought in from immigrants, primarily from the Middle East and Mexico, your hair would stand up. What this government is covering up. If there was a just government, every leader in the CDC would be arrested for sedition for what they're doing. They have turned a blind eye to the diseases that this man is ushering into this nation. And I didn't want to get angry today at all. Did I break up yet? Did the clear one fail us yet? Not yet. I'm keeping it down. All right, a copy of Government Zero goes out to you because this issue of immigrants and epidemics is very near and dear to my heart. I know an awful lot about it. Before I take my first break, I've been watching the Dubai skyscraper burning all morning. And now the liars are putting out the cover story that fireworks burned the skyscraper. Well, if you believe that, well, then I guess you can believe that Barack Obama is an American who loves the country. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYC. So the country is being overrun by illegal aliens from China, Mexico, from the Middle East, Muslim men of military age, and the FBI offers $5,000 as a reward after Bacon was found at a Vegas mosque. This is what we mean by the perversion of a nation, the perversion of a government. I have talked about insanity before. I've told you that the chaos that Obama is creating is, of course, by design. You can call him insane if you want. It's what he's doing is insane. He tells Seinfeld many world leaders are insane, but he himself is a psychopath. What I'm about to read to you shows the malice of this man towards this nation and what a puppet he is of the Silicon Valley pirates. The pirates who run Microsoft, the pirates who run these companies in Silicon Valley, who hate American workers so much that they're bringing in foreign graduates who are cheaper employees than U.S.-born college grads. An executive action passed today, will give work permits to foreign college graduates. 181-page illegal rule put out by the psychopath in the White House will give work permits to foreign college graduates who will then compete against Americans for white collar jobs. Even though many of you are college grads stuck in lower wage positions and are struggling to pay off college debt, your president is not your friend. Your president is your enemy. Many of you are young. You're idealistic. There's an old saying that if you're not a liberal at 20, you have no heart. If you're still a liberal at 40, you have no mind. Let me tell you something. If you're still a liberal, as a young college graduate, after seeing what this man has just done to you, if you're still a liberal, then you have no brains. This rule will admit over 100,000 foreign graduates so that pimply-faced Zuckerface can make more money. So that the pimply-faced owner of Facebook can make even more billions. Is he not rich enough? You see, you don't understand something about greed. At a certain level, greed is insanity. There's such a thing as ambition, and then there's such a thing as insane desires. There's an insane desire for more gold. I told you the Aztecs used to say that the Spaniards who had invaded their nation had an insatiable desire for gold. After they had destroyed the Aztec civilization, killed so many of them, enslaved them, and stole their gold, they kept looking for more gold. And the Aztecs then said to each other that the Spanish invaders, from whom they got their language, by the way, today, the Spanish invaders have an illness, an incurable illness called gold sickness. Guys like Zuckerface, Bill Gates, the others in Silicon Valley, have a similar disease. They care nothing about America. America is nothing but one market of many. Although they got their educations here, although they were fed from infancy with the air and the water and the milk of America, they have no loyalty to these countries, to the country they were born in. They have a loyalty only to the bottom line. And the bottom line is going to kill us all. 100,000 H-1B visas, green cards to Indians, green cards to Indians primarily, so that the pirates of Silicon Valley can continue their buccaneer actions. And he's warming up now for the final push. Yep, one more year to destroy everything of any value in America. So today he gave out a regulation that he made up on his own mind in his own head. No Congress needed. After all, he's the great one. And he just broke the immigration system wide open. He destroyed it. He's giving green cards to people on H-1B visas to satisfy pimple face at Facebook. Because Facebook couldn't get any more Indians in because the quotas had been filled. But Facebook, as you well know, lobbied the stooge. He's granting 100,000 overnight to allow foreign college graduates into America. He bypassed laws against illegal immigration in 2012 by giving two-year work permits to 800,000 younger foreign migrants who were brought here by their illegal immigrant parents. In 2015, the criminal presidency did it again. From 2009 to 2015, the criminal presidency allowed at least 250,000 Central American illegals into the U.S. requesting asylum or refugee status. Take a look at your cities today. Look at the cesspools they become. I'm sorry, I don't have nice words for cities. I live in them. I walk around them. They're cesspools. And I am the son of an immigrant. But you see, when my people came here, they kept their tenement houses spotless. They took pride in maintaining the front of their tenement building. They swept it. They washed the sidewalks. They would rather have thrown themselves off a fire escape than accept welfare. It was a matter of pride. So there's a big difference between being an immigrant and being a leech. In 2013, the criminal administration added roughly 2 million extra foreign workers to the economy, while 4 million poor young Americans began looking for work. And the object here was to strip American workers of their protection from foreign labor, according to a gentleman who has studied this. And no one is stopping the madman. Right now, nearly 650,000 foreign graduates are working in the United States under the fraudulent, corrupted H-1B visa program. You hear the number? Now, the foreign graduates often get, typically get, entry-level jobs that would otherwise go to new United States business grads, to doctors, designers, engineers, scientists, programmers. And the foreign grads that Obama is flooding America with are used to replace mid-level American professionals once they seek mid-career. I don't have to read any more of this. He has committed another crime against the law, another crime against America, another crime against the economy, and nothing happens to him. To me, this is pure evil. To me, the man is the embodiment of pure evil. You know, there's a study out. A test comes out saying, how evil are you? It reveals whether you have Machiavellian traits or show signs of psychopathic behavior. And I'm going to go into that on how to tell if you're a psychopath. You will find that if you apply this test to Barack Obama, he's insane. They include, do you lie to get what you want? Check yes. Is it okay to manipulate others to get what you want? Check yes. How many of the following feelings do you feel on a regular basis, Mr. Obama? Sadness, guilt, love, remorse, emotional pain, or embarrassment? Zero. Mr. Obama, do you ever feel any of these emotions because of others around, because others around you do? Mr. Obama, do you ever break into fits of rage for no reason? Mr. Obama, are you skilled at manipulating others? Mr. Obama, do you fake emotions? Mr. Obama, do you think yourself superior to others? These are statements from a self-professed psychopath named Jacob Wells, who said these are questions people can use to determine if they have psychopathic traits. We'll talk about how to spot a psychopath. Of course, you don't have to be a genius to do this. No, not at all. How to spot a psychopath from charm to manipulation. The question I raise is, how come he hasn't been stopped? You say, well, come on, you know why, Mike. Of course I know why. I wrote two books on it. Both bestsellers, despite all of the machinations of the left, stopped the coming civil war, went up on the New York Times list, stayed there. My last book, Government Zero, still available, hit number three on the New York Times list. You think everyone who reads them is crazy? You think everyone doesn't know what this lying psychopath is doing? But they don't. They no longer have a representative government. If we did, he would have been stopped. You see, we have a puppet progressive Islamist machine inside the Republican Party run by Ryan, the beard. That's Obama's beard. Ryan is Obama's beard. First, Boehner was Obama's beard. Where is Boehner, by the way? He retired to his condo in Jacksonville, we hear. A little sand crab told us that he's retired in Jacksonville, chikkered out of his mind every night on his lanai. He got his just rewards. He didn't need too much. A case of scotch a month is all he needed. That's a joke. Yeah, a real joke. See, we have no opposition party. Normally, if there's an opposition party, they raise objections to 100,000 green cards saying it's going to screw American youngsters out of jobs. We're going to impeach you for it. We're going to fight you tooth and claw. We're not letting you do this. We're going to stop you legislatively. And then we're going to impeach you for doing this. I don't care if it's the last day of your office. You're being impeached. We're holding impeachment hearings January 2nd for what you're doing. That would have stopped them, but they don't want it stopped. You don't understand something. There is no Republican Party. Now, you've heard others say this, who have been Republicans all their lives, went to dinner with George Bush, didn't exactly sleep in the Lincoln bedroom, but let's say they dined in the Lincoln bedroom with Bush. Lifetime water carriers for the Republican Party who suddenly woke up to the fact that the American listener was on to them, and suddenly they became anti-Republican. Okay, good for them. Better late than never. But I've never been a Republican. I've always known who they were. They were the type of kid in high school who would never let me in the fraternity, if you know what I'm talking about. That's who they were. They were the type of kid I never wanted to be around. Never liked that type. The check pants country club type. I'd rather hang around with recent releasees from San Quentin on a ferry than talk to a Republican. I did. If you wait till you see some of the writings from my early years. In fact, I'm going to get ahead of myself. The kind of guy I am. I told you that in May, I have a dog book coming out, my Teddy book. The photographer was out a month ago with my publisher. Kate is my publisher for Government Zero and Stop the Coming Civil War, but she's a dog lover. So she kept saying, you got to do a dog book about you and Teddy. I love your dog. He's the smartest one. Blah, blah. So they sent the best dog photographer out in the world, Vince Romini. He's unbelievable. So he got on the floor to photograph Teddy. Where do you see these pictures of me? You won't believe it. No, everyone thinks their dog is the cutest, but mine really is. And very few people have a book that is a book of their own. See, this is going to be the best thing I've ever done because it's going to be the only person on earth that I know of who has a dog book. Nobody in talk radio will have a book that actually is about their dog. I mean, they can write about it, but it's a picture book about their dog. I'm secondary to the dog in this book. You know what I'm saying? But the point I'm making, I forgot already. I forgot the train of thought. It's already the end of the year. I'm tired. I went to the worst Chinese restaurant in America last night here in L.A. There is no Chinese food in L.A., by the way. Side note. I'm spoiled. I come from the city of San Francisco, which has the largest Chinatown outside of China, and they have the best Chinese food in the world. New Yorkers don't know Chinese food at all. To them, Greece is Chinese. Greece, sugar, and salt is Chinese food. So I have friends down here in L.A. Believe it or not, I, Michael Savage, have friends down here in L.A. And I said, they said, where do you want to go to dinner? You want to go to Beverly Hills? And I said, no. No pasta palaces. I can't stand it. The posing, the noise level. I need one night off from it, please. Chinese. They said, well, you know, it's not that good. So we went to some obscure district, just as I thought, full of sugar, salt, fat. And you know what I did? I made a decision in advance. I'd eat it anyway. I mean, I told the waitress, low oil, no MSG, no sugar. It was still salty and fatty. I knocked off the spare ribs like there was no such thing as heart attacks. I looked at the plate of spare ribs. The pig looked like it was still breathing in the leg. I ate them. Drank a few vodkas. I felt great. Sick all night. Migraine to beat the band. Couldn't sleep. In other words, I had a good New York Chinese meal that killed most men by their 52nd birthday. Very nice guy. He's very, very nice guy. And we're going to go to his house for a New Year's Eve party tonight. And I don't mention names. I'm not a name dropper. But, you know, it's very funny. I told you that I had a chance encounter with, let's say, an iconic actor. I will not mention his name. Was very interested in my show and my writings. Ran into him in a deli the other day. He came to my house. I gave him a copy of Government Zero. I'm not going to call him or write him again. I don't intend to bother anybody. Well, tonight I'm going to be with one of the most famous actors in the world at a party, who I will not mention because he's a conservative and he still gets work in town. There are conservative actors in Los Angeles, by the way, only they don't want you to know it because the left-wing rats who run the city would dismiss them overnight. That's what a fascist dictatorship liberalism actually is. So I'll be with, you know, a total of 10 people. And I'll probably, you know, maybe read a little. I won't read from my book. I won't do that. He said, you know, he's a big fan of yours. I said, he's a fan of mine. The guy is known all over the world. He's done billion-dollar movies. Yes. So that should be interesting. I don't know. I said, I can't last long. You know, come at 8. It ends at 12:30. I said, listen, I'm an early sleeper. I have to leave at 10. He said, no, you have to stay till. You know how long 8 o'clock at night is till 12:30 for me? My show is 3 hours long. Now picture this. I'm going to do a 3-hour show. I'm going to be exhausted with the leaf chipper outside the window and the systems breaking down and the show and the nightmare of the luxury hotel and Obama burning the nation down. And then I'm going to meet, actually I'm meeting my friend Robert Davi, who's just back from a sterling tour in Estonia. He performed over there. They love him. He came back last night. We're meeting tonight for an hour to talk about a movie thing and a novel we're going to write together. Then I'm going to go to a party now for 4.5. That's not my. I'd rather be in bed tonight till it's over. But okay, I'm not going to be in bed. I'm going to be at a thing. I won't be able to eat though because he said I'm making roast beef and Yorkshire pudding and cream corn. He said I don't think you're going to be able to eat any of it. I said no, that's fine. No, but I won't be able to eat any of it. I won't. So what I'm going to do tonight? I don't know. Who knows? I'll have a drink and play with the dog, talk to people, and come home early. So what are you gonna, what am I telling you all this for? One, because it's a kind of diversion from the horrors of Barack Obama's insanity and Machiavellian madness. He's really just a puppet when you think about it. He doesn't benefit from the 100,000 foreign workers directly. But the corrupt Democrat machine benefits because guys like Zuckerface give them tons of money. But he himself doesn't profit from it. He does what they want him to do, those who put him in power. Soros is an open borders guy, the better to destroy a nation, and the better to mask his crimes against humanity. The more illegals you bring into a country, the less chance the nation itself will rise up against you. If you dilute the populace sufficiently with bad English speakers or people who don't even understand the language, the less chance there is that they'll actually catch you and put you in prison for what you've done to the nation. So that's one plan. Then it's cheap labor, obviously. Voters for Hillary, immediate voters for Hillary. They don't know her from a hole in the wall, but they tell them to vote D and they'll vote D, that's all. Any language they can see, vote D or R. It's that simple. When Johnny comes marching home again, there'll be no America left for Johnny. So here we are, goodbye 2015, and that's it. Meanwhile, the building in Dubai, I watched all day like a torch. And they're already putting out the cover story that it was fireworks. A, that's a lie. Tell you right off the bat, fireworks don't set a building on fire. Number one, it's a modern building, which are extremely fire resistant, and there's sprinkler systems throughout. And the reason they're telling you that it was fireworks is because they don't want you to know that the Islamic terrorists went after the moderate Muslims who own and run Dubai and set a building on fire for New Year's Eve. That would be my guess. That's all. Straight out guess. An act of terrorism as sure as I'm sitting here. Whether or not it comes out in 2016 is a subject of debate. That building did not go up because of fireworks. And when I saw it, I said they're worldwide. Hitler is alive and well. He doesn't speak German. He speaks Arabic. He doesn't march to an umpa-pa band. He is not wearing a swastika on his arm. Hitler is wearing a different insignia. And he's not reading from Mein Kampf. He's reading from another book today. A book that originated in the desert over 1,000 years ago. Yes, indeedy. It's very hard to see reality. God sees the truth but waits. Man, I don't know if God's asleep or what. God's watching all of this going on in the world. He's watching the Arabic Hitlers rage across the planet, burning, killing, raping, decimating populations, raping girls, destroying Christianity in the Middle East, killing people in Paris, killing people in San Bernardino. God sees the truth but waits. I have one request, God. Can you please get off your behind and stop them before the world goes up in flames? Hey, God, we're talking to you. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYC. It is. Well, Carson's out. He lost two top aides, quit his campaign. He had his 15 months of fame. Let him go back to pediatric neurosurgery. You know what I'm saying? He had a great career. He could do lectures. There's a book worth $3 million in it for him. It's good running for the presidency in America. No one loses. Even the losers win in America. It's such a fraudulent system. Obama taking executive action on gun control next week. The psychopath is not finished yet. Oh, no, he's just getting started. U.S. population hits 323 million, a new immigrant every 29 seconds. Oh, yeah. Here's another one for you. 60 Minutes is about to report that Italian olive oils might be fakes. It says most of the extra virgin olive oil imported from Italy is probably fake. I always knew that. I could just taste it and tell you it's a fraud. 60 Minutes, Italian olive oils might be fake thanks to mob. No kidding. It says the mob's control of Italy's most famous food staple is so powerful that even some of its wines and cheeses are likely to be phony. No kidding. You mean that explains the headaches I get from most Italian red? No kidding, except the most expensive? No kidding. I mean, I didn't need a story like this. If I have olive oil, I use pure. There's only California, by the way, has the best, the most, let's say, reliably virgin olive oil in the world. They have actual controls and checks. I only use California virgin olive oil. I can tell you by taste what it is.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
We'll be right back.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hello, mayhem. Yeah, it goes on a comedian show. We were talking about it last hour. Flooding America. Work permits to foreign college graduates. And the young folks who come out of colleges are all liberals and Democrats. They don't even know what this man is doing to them. 100,000 new H-1B visas. Green cards to people who cannot get into this country because the quotas have been reached in order to undermine the wages of young college graduates and reward Mark Zuckerface, who has lobbied so hard for cheaper labor. And then I ended the hour with the 60 Minutes report that's airing this Sunday about fake olive oil coming out of Italy. Now, it's interesting to me. 60 Minutes is saying Italian olive oils might be fake thanks to the mob, who makes more money on fake olive oil than they do on cocaine. Can you believe this? It says a gallon of extra virgin olive oil, pure from the first press, can cost up to $50. To create an imitation with seed oil and other adulterants may cost just $7. And as you may know, extra virgin olive oil is of higher quality than regular olive oil, and it's the only cooking oil made without the use of chemicals and industrial refining. And I buy it myself in California. The California Certified Organic is apparently reliable. I can smell oil and tell you whether it's adulterated, but that's me. I have a super sharp nose. Most of us don't know. And secondly, you know, even if we do, when you go to a restaurant, do you really know what you're eating? My aunt was right. It's garbage by and large. They get the cheapest of anything. Cover it with a sauce. That's French food to a T. Last month alone, Italian authorities seized 7,000 tons of fake extra virgin olive oil. Can you believe this? But the problem is this, because if you adulterate extra virgin olive oil with seed oil, and you're allergic to seed oil, you might die or get very sick. You don't even know this. So here we go. You got fake wine, you got fake cheese, the CBS News program says. Italy's gone a long way in reversing this this trend of adulterated wine and cheese. And well, now it's back, according to 60 Minutes. So I'm lucky I live in California because I can get good wine, good cheese. I don't drink California wine, though. If I drink wine, I only like very expensive Italian wine. But a couple of times I had some bad Italian wine recently. This would explain it. Although it said it was, you know, it wasn't. They threw the chemical job in there. I don't know what they're using to fake the wine. I don't even drink it. It's not like vodka. It's more pure. All right, end the story. Right, you're drinking it because you think you're going to live forever. Well, anyway, you know the stories. They're pretty bad. I don't want to depress you any further for the end of the year. We covered some pretty bad stories in the first hour. Obama going on the Jerry Seinfeld fake radio or whatever. I don't know, television, the Hulu. I don't know what it is. And says many world leaders are insane. Not himself, of course. And then you have a lying government that's like adulterated olive oil. Here, for example, is a spokesmouth for the State Department saying that ISIS is contained. Listen to clip number 4. Wait, before you play it, Robert, this is related to the olive oil. In other words, instead of getting unadulterated oil out of the mouths of these spokesmouths, the Lenny Riefenstahls of our time, the Goebbels of our time, who worked for Obama, we're getting contaminated olive oil in the form of lies. Listen to 4.
Now, I've been tracking this particular enemy now for more than a year. This is not the same group that they were. They're not moving about as freely as they were. They are much more contained in Iraq and Syria. 25 to 30% of their territory that they once had now has been taken away from them. They have pretty much lost Ramadi.
The deep breaths. Okay, they got the biggest liar they could find at Harvard. The kid who known as the biggest liar in grade school, and then moved up to high school, again won the prize for the biggest liar. Then was rewarded with a scholarship to Harvard because he was a better liar than anyone else in the school. Now was rewarded by being hired by the State Department because he was a better liar yet. Yeah, ISIS is contained. All right. Hotels are on fire. Girls are being raped around the clock on an industrial level not seen since the rape of Nanking. I wanted to talk about that, but it's too depressing a topic. I love all the liberals who tell us how bad the Japanese treated the Koreans and the Chinese in World War II. They don't even do that, though, because it violates the idea that all Asians are peace-loving and only the white male is the bad guy. So you don't even hear about the rape of Nanking, where when the Japanese troops invaded China and they took control of this once beautiful city, they created an industrial rape machine. They raped girls around the clock until they died. I'm telling you something that's heartbreaking. ISIS is doing the same thing, and Obama's talking about it in Jerry Seinfeld's car. In this regard, if there was justice in the world, a guy like Jerry Seinfeld would be held up on war crimes for aiding and abetting a man who is letting this go on. But, you know, I know guys like Jerry Seinfeld. I went to school with them. I know what the type they are. They think they're smarter than everybody. They got an answer for everything. They got a big mouth on them. They know everything. If you're a nuclear physicist, they'll lecture you about your field. If you're an expert in plastics, they'll tell you how plastics are made. I know the type. And because he made $1 billion on a terrible television show, he now knows how to be a good stooge for the worst president in the history of the world, in my opinion. I have to add in my opinion. I don't know why. Of course it's my opinion. What else is it? Your opinion? 855-400-7282. If you want to get into the last show of the year, you can't. We're sold out, as usual. I don't know what 2016 is going to bring. Do you? Anyone know what 2016 is going to bring? I mean, I don't. I'm not a fortune teller. We can pretty much predict what the madman is going to try to do with no opposition. You know that Paul Ryan is running the Quisling Democrat Socialist government inside the Republican Party. He's running a puppet Democrat Party inside the Republican Party. That's what he was put in power for. So we have a one-party system. We have a press that's in cahoots with the same one-party system. The government media complex, as yours truly taught you in 1998. So what hope is there? Well, God sees the truth but waits. But I think God, I have a feeling God went to sleep. I know many of you are going to take umbrage at that. Oh, God, you know, he wants this to happen, blah, blah. I'm not so sure. Let's assume for a minute that there is a God, the true God. Why is he letting this happen? Why is he letting this imposter do this to this great nation? Why is he letting ISIS rape its way and kill its way across the globe? Why? Why is he not punishing Merkel, who is destroying Germany? I've said to you before that what Merkel is doing is the equivalent of what Hitler did in reverse. Say, what? What did he just say? Hitler invaded other countries to impose Nazi ideals, if you want to call them that, on surrounding nations. We all know that was evil. And Hitler ended in a disaster for Germany. Destroyed the nation. Merkel is doing the same thing in reverse. She's invading her own nation with 1 million Syrians, for example. If that's not the equivalent of what Hitler did in reverse, which means the end result may be the same, she will wind up destroying Germany. So people at dinner last night, we were in the Chinese last night, they said to me, why would Merkel do a thing like that? I said, you know, I had a caller a few months ago who's German-speaking, who educated me on why Merkel's doing this to Germany, that is flooding them with illegal aliens from Syria, Muslims who will never integrate into society. All you will see is a disastrous civil war in Germany. Despite all Germans, every poll wants it stopped except the far left communists who want to destroy their own nation because they're suicidal, as you well know. The Germans don't want it, bankrupting the country, and she's doing it. And I said to the woman, why? She said she comes from East Germany from a communist background. I said, oh my God, it's like a bell went, like a light went off in my head. And when I told it to these intelligent people I was at dinner with, they said, oh my God, that explains it. She's a diehard communist who wants to destroy our own nation. Now let's come across the Atlantic to Obama. Why is he doing the same thing to this country? Fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. That's all. But where's God in all of this? What God? What does he have to do with the monsters who were doing this to these countries? Where is God? You know, it reminds me like Elvis has left the auditorium. Remember that old joke? Elvis, how did it go? Elvis has left the building. People were like still looking for him. That's the answer to the God question. He got tired with man. He got tired of what we're doing. He left. He left the building. He went to another universe. This was an experiment that he had one morning, nothing to do. One morning in eternity, he had nothing to do, so he created man on earth. And he said, what a mess this is. This is like a beta rector set. Forget about this. I can't control it. They're killing each other. They're raping each other. They're lying to each other. I can't do anything with them, no matter how I try to scare them. I create floods, I create famines, I create this, I create that, and they don't learn. Forget about it. I want nothing to do with them. I'm leaving. I'm leaving the theater. I'm going. That's what I think sometimes. So you say, how do you live, Eyeless, in Gaza? How do you live without God? I don't know. I guess I'll have to get used to it. What did I just say? I don't believe in God. You no longer believe in God, the Lord, our God. Where is he then? Why is he permitting Obama to get away with virtual murder of a nation? It's the slaughter of a nation. Why is he allowed to do it? Why is he allowed to commit criminal acts like going around the law? I don't care whether you're a liberal or a Democrat. It doesn't matter to me. He's going around the law, bringing in 100,000 H-1B visas in order to satisfy Zuckerface. He wants more cheap labor. Bill Gates wants cheap labor. No matter how many billions they want cheaper labor. Why? Why? They're nuts. They have the gold disease. They're nuts. Then they hire immigration lawyers to work for. I know who works for Facebook. I've looked up the company. I've seen it. I've seen how many immigration attorneys they have of Indian descent who are bringing them in by the plane load as fast as they can. And, you know, I'm a big supporter of the Indian culture. How many years have I supported Indians on this show? From the beginning, I boasted about how proud I am of immigrants from India, that they come here and in one generation they're winning spelling bees, the kids, how smart they are. Well, now I wake up and I see that they're flooding America with as many Indian workers who are cheaper than American workers, and I say to myself, something's wrong with this picture. Very, very bad situation. You know, things change and you have to be flexible with it. You can't put out the same story every day. Let's say my opinions of 3 years ago, they're not the same today. Everything's changed. Well, that opens up nothing. One call, 855-47282. Robert will now play a New Year's Eve song because I've lost Skype. I can't even look at him. The leaf chipper is gone. This Telos is working. Robert, play a New Year's Eve song. Go to break.
1 minute to midnight. 1 minute to go. 1 minute to say goodbye before we say hello.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. Every time I hear it, I remember one story my uncle told me. He hated Guy Lombardo. I didn't know anything about it. I was a kid. I sat at home New Year's Eve. I didn't go anywhere. What kids go out New Year's Eve? And I had an uncle who would come over. He's dead now, God rest his soul. Every New Year's Eve, the same story. He'd hear this song and he would say, that Guy Lombardo, and he'd get angry. Why? Something about he ran someone over and he paid off a judge in New York. You know, I was the first ever heard of anything about like an icon. I thought, see, as a kid, you don't know any of this stuff. It's the same with the kids who are graduating college. They see a nice guy who goes on Seinfeld, black guy, you know, first black president. They figure anyone who opposes him is a right-wing nut, racist. Then they wake up and they find out that college graduates are being shafted by this nice guy, first black president. He's giving out 100,000 basically green cards, H-1B visas, to undercut college graduates from getting a job in America. But they don't know. They'll blame Nixon for it. The kids come out, they're so drugged. What else did I? Oh, UK government is going to ban Trump from entering. That'll be he and I won't be able to go there. UK government on petition to ban Trump. They got all of the communists and Muslims in England to sign a petition to ban Donald Trump. And the idiot who runs England says that visiting is a privilege, not a right. What a disappointment this David Cameron is. What a phony this one is. Some conservative. What a really embarrassed. What an embarrassment. That they threw their own nation in the toilet like this. British government said that Trump has risked being banned from the UK over his comments about banning Muslims for entering the United States. Home Secretary Theresa May said that she had the authority to exclude a non-European Economic Area national from the UK if she considers their presence in the UK to be non-conducive to the public good. She's such a liar. She got Muslims marching around there saying, overthrow the queen, we'll put in Sharia law, we want you to wear a burqa, and they don't throw them out. Who is she kidding? They're all cowards. The entire government of England is an occupied government. It's an occupied Quisling government. Quisling may as well be running England right now as the Quisling ran Norway after it was invaded by Hitler. Exclusion powers are very serious. and are not lightly used, she said. You know, I'm banned from entering England, much to my dissatisfaction. It was a terrible thing that was done to me in 09. But I now wear it as a badge of pride, because many famous Israeli generals are banned from England, and now they want to ban Trump? Huh. Just shows you what they become. Prime Minister David Cameron slammed Trump's remarks, and the Home Secretary, the Prime Minister has made clear that he completely disagrees with Donald Trump's remarks. The Home Secretary has said that Donald Trump's remarks in relation to Muslims are divisive, unhelpful, and wrong. Why doesn't she say the same things about jihadis who are living in England? Why doesn't she throw them out? Because she's a coward and a liar. She's a quisling. We reject any attempts to create division? Oh, really? And the Muslims marching around saying, you know, the terrible things they say on a regular basis? Or who pray in a public square blocking traffic in England? 1,000 of them get down in the middle of a street. They're not creating division? They're not marginalizing the British themselves? You should see what people say of this story on Newsmax. Someone wrote, the kind of morons running the UK is the kind that panders to the Muslims that are slowly but surely taking over their country, just as they desire to take over the entire planet. The useful idiot mentality that preaches multiculturalism and that elected Obama is a suicidal mental disease that has infected many in the civilized world. It is you get the picture. Must be a listener to the show. These morons, Figaro writes, these morons were put in their offices by moron voters who are signing their oath warrant. It is amazing how stupid people are running countries in the EU. Merkel brought million immigrants to Germany without any background check. 60% of young men with their cell phones. And who did Time magazine name the person of the year? The communist potato face from East Germany, who was doing everything she can to destroy Germany. Savage Nation, America is sitting here waiting nervously to see what the madman in the White House might do for the new year. He's done something already. New Year's surprise, Obama regulation to give work permits to at least 100,000 foreign college graduates who will work at much lower wages than U.S. employees. And yet U.S.-born college graduates who will not find a job because this criminal administration will bypass the law on immigration in order to satisfy the H-1B visas that have been demanded by Mark Zuckerface and others, don't even understand what's happening to them in this country because of the brainwashing. That's one of the topics. That's one of the topics. There are many others. It's a New Year's Eve show, so to speak. I mean, we know we're near New Year's Eve. I mean, some parts of the world of credit, they've gone home, thank God. Like where? 1:34 on the West Coast, 4:34 on the East Coast. Plus six already. It's not yet they didn't drop the ball on the Eiffel Tower. Dubai already had New Year's already. They engulfed the terrorists gave them a little New Year's firecracker job. New Year's Eve, we're on the Dateline. I used to go across the Dateline. I don't travel across the Dateline anymore. The closest I get is to eating dates or riding a J-Line. All right, let's go to the callers. WBAP, Molly, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, Molly?
Yes, hi. I just wanted to let you know that I believe that the best show of yours this year was the one where you talked about death and the dying. A lot of people tend to avoid that subject, but you faced it head on.
I don't remember the death and dying show. When was that this year? When was that this year?
I believe it was just a few weeks ago, wasn't it?
I don't know. What move? I must have been depressed. What was the conclusion on death and dying that you liked so much?
Well, you talked about you talked about how a lot of people don't talk about it, how don't think about it, how a lot of people just try to avoid it, how they believe that in the United States a lot of people tend to think that they're going to live forever.
Oh, I was mentioning everyone buries it. It's like it's not going to happen to them, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. So anyway,
why did you find that of any interest?
hospice CNA, and I'm actually younger than any of my colleagues.
But Molly, why would you find the show on death and dying of any interest? What interested you about that?
Well, because as a hospice CNA, I face death every day. All of my, you know, all of my patients.
You're a hospice nurse, did you just say?
CNA, it's a nurse's assistant.
Oh, so you see people in the last stages of life?
Yes, sir.
What do you see? Can you summarize any of your observations for the large national audience that's listening to us right now?
Surprisingly enough, I see a lot of peace.
Do any people look forward to passing? Is that what you're saying? They do?
If they've come to terms with their mistakes, yes.
Whoa. What do you mean? You mean not because they're in such pain that they can't wait to be relieved of it. You mean come to terms with the mistakes they made in their life? You mean they work it out with who? They talk to you?
No, most of the time it's whenever they've worked it out with themselves.
Let's say they're laying in their bed and they're at the last stages of their life. They're thinking about the things they did in their life that were wrong, you mean?
Right. I have two different kinds of patients. That's a good way to summarize it. And one of them are the patients that are afraid to go. They don't want to go. And most of the time, those are the ones who haven't come to terms with what they've done wrong. They have a lot of regrets. And then there's the other set, and those are the people who know that they did things wrong, and they've accepted that nobody's perfect, and they've come to terms with their imperfections, and they found forgiveness. And they're ready to move on. They're ready to go to...
Have you in your working with dying people, I hate to go into this on a New Year's Eve, you know, people don't want to talk about it. Have you seen people leave and go somewhere good?
I believe so.
Of course, we can only believe it. We don't know for sure. You know, the old light at the end of the tunnel thing that we all hear about. But what do you actually think happens to the soul upon expiration of the body?
I'll tell you, I had a dream. I'd been working in hospice for about 6 months, and I'd seen many people that I'd gotten very close to pass away. As a CNA, I spend about an hour to 2 hours a day with each patient, and so I get very close to them. And about 6 months into my career, I had a dream one night, and several of my patients were in a parking lot. And it was late at night, and they were all talking to each other. And none of them had known each other in life, but they were all standing in this parking lot. And I remember I drove by them, and they all looked at me, and they smiled, and they waved. Then they were happy. You know, they weren't...
That's kind of a wish-fulfillment fantasy, and Psych 101 will teach you that you're trying to put together the horror that you see into some nice little package. You know, I'm not knocking your dreams, but... Dreams can often be wish fulfillment fantasies. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. But I think that it does kind of show my beliefs. I don't know exactly, you know, what happens, and I try to keep.
Are you afraid to die yourself?
I'm not afraid to die. I'm afraid to leave behind the people that I love.
Well, it's in a way of all flesh. I mean, it's going to happen.
Exactly. I look forward to. Exploring something different, a different form, a different place.
I'm not personally. I mean, I'm not looking forward to any of that. I'll fight death to the last second. See, my culture is different. I don't accept it. I'm not a hippie. I'm not a Buddhist. I'm an American Buddhist. They have a misinterpretation. They welcome death. They embrace it. You know what? Good luck to them. Let them all embrace it, all the hippies. I don't embrace it. We fight it. We tell death to go you know where. When death comes, you tell them to go visit someone else. That's the Carpathian Russian way. We don't welcome death and embrace it. We fight it every step of the way. So, I mean, it's a different culture. That's all I can say.
Absolutely, yes.
Now, you're a sweetheart. You're a lovely person.
Okay.
How old did you say? How old did you say you are?
I'm 20.
Oh, you're such a sweet person. Do you have a boyfriend?
I'm married.
Really? How long have you been married?
It'll be 2 years in June.
God bless you. Children?
Thank you.
No, do you have children yet?
No, not yet. I'm in school right now. I'm pre-med, so we don't want to have any kids.
Oh, you're a lovely, you're going to be a great, great doctor. Molly, all I can send you is my congratulations, my thanks from the radio waves, and send you a copy of my book, Government Zero. Molly, God bless you for calling. What a beautiful call that was. I never expected it. Just a beautiful, it's like, you can breathe easy. You hear me breathe easy? You hear that? I felt myself, like, sigh with relief that something good happened today. Every computer I have in front of me is failing. My stories computer is down. My call screen is down. My Skype is down. The only thing working is the microphone right now, my brain. Maybe that's all you need in radio is a microphone and a brain and a gift. A gift of gab. You know, everything's a miracle when you think about it. What if I wake up one day and I have no voice? Or what if I wake up one day and I have a high-pitched voice like that and I sound squeaky? Career over. I don't know. In America, my career could go up amongst progressives. If I had a squeaky voice, they may like me more. They may think I'm friendlier. I don't know. You never. I was thinking about voices, how amazing voices are. I'm blessed with a great voice. But it's a blessing. I remember when I was a pubescent kid, adolescent, just becoming, you know, that old thing with the hair and the beard. And all. My voice was changing. And, as a kid, you have a kid voice. Like, you sound like Johnny Philip Morris. Call for Philip Morris. You know, high-pitched. And then your voice changes. And I remember praying to God that he would give me a man's voice. My father had a great baritone voice like this. My son, God bless him, has a voice very similar. My son, when he used to live with us, would pick up the phone and they'd think it was me. Or I would pick it up. God forbid, I should tell you. I'd pick it up, they'd think it was him, and the things I forget about that. The girls, the Swedish girls in the basement had to kick him out when he reminded me recently. He'd kill me if he heard me talk. He reminded me, he said, "Hey, Dad, do you remember when I moved back home at a certain point and I was living in your house? And I had those two Swedish girls over, and you came down and you screamed at me in the middle of the night, 'You look like Kato Caitlin, get out of my darn house and get your, you know what, out of here with you. Just get out.'" I said, "I don't remember that." That was during the OJ phase, Kato Caitlin. Remember him? He went on. Yeah, he went on. So it's snowing up in the Sierra. The snowpack's at 130% of normal. Jerry Brown doesn't know that yet. They haven't been able to get through to Sacramento. He's busy studying the protocols of global warming. 130%, all of the scream. They were screaming, "Oh, drought! We're all going to die in California. Oh, there's no rain!" I said, "Hey, idiots, you live in a Mediterranean climate, moron. Most of you are from Cleveland or from Brooklyn who run the country, run California." I just hit the switch. I lost the CISPRO. That's good. I really don't have callers now. I swear to God. Oh, God, I have to go doing this during the... And 130%. It's back, like, unbelievable. But they're not mentioning it anymore. The reservoirs are going to be overflowing and they're flooding. We should have some El Nino this February when we have the biggest... You know, February on the West Coast is when you get your heavy rains and snow. We're already at 130% of the snowpack of the average. But old Jerry hasn't noticed that yet. It doesn't meet the protocols of global warming. All right, give me a caller. I lost my call screen. Anyone will do. Go ahead on the Savage Nation. What's your name?
Hey, WPNQ in Savannah, Georgia.
Yes. And what is your topic, please?
I'm talking about two favorite shows, actually. About a month ago, you interviewed Donald Trump, and that was very exciting to me to think that Donald would be listening to someone as educated as yourself and represents a lot of the feelings that a great many of the people in the country have and share.
I got a note from him yesterday, a personal email, and from his number one, saying we'll be on your show very early in January, so that's going to be very good to look forward to. He is a wonderful man. He is better than all of his detractors put together. Was that your favorite show of the year?
He spoke here at the Hilton Head, South Carolina, where I live yesterday, and had 10 times as many people attending the event as have gone to hear other people in the race.
What you know, we talk about this, of why Trump will make such a great president. I talked about it last night with very intelligent people. They all had a different opinion as to why. I mean, I have my own opinion why. He doesn't mince words. Secondly, he loves America. What more do you need? An honest man who loves the country? After a dishonest psychopath who hates the country? I mean, it's the alpha and the omega. The question is, can he undo the millions of illegal aliens that this one is flooding America with? Can he deport them? Are there enough airplanes and buses in the world to deport the illegals who don't belong here? That's what I want to know.
Well, I'm sure he can make a dent in the situation. And
yes, I'm sure he'll stop it for sure, but I'm not worried about stopping it. I want it reversed. I want to see 1,000 buses a day running south. I'd like to see 1,000 UPS airliners running back to Syria a month. That's what I'd like to see to straighten this nation out. And they could take all of the lawyers from NYU with them while they're going. All of the screaming liberal lawyers can take a flight with them and go live with their wonderful friends over there in Mosul. I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero because, unfortunately, that's what we have. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. Well, we're coming to the end of the hour here in a couple of minutes, and I want to say goodbye to my listeners on WABC, goodbye to WMAL, goodbye to WJR, until next year, that is. I'd love to be on for the third hour with you, but this is the way it is. 2 hours in some markets, 3 hours in others. I don't have any control over that. I know many of you would love me to be on for that extra hour, because I'm on anyway, I'm live. ISIS supporter planned machete attack on New Year's Eve at Rochester restaurant. Did you hear this little story? An alleged ISIS supporter who allegedly intended to commit an armed machete attack against people at a restaurant in Rochester on New Year's Eve was arrested. Emmanuel Luchman, an ex-con Muslim convert. There we go again. Something in common with all of these terror attacks, but we're not allowed to notice it. Let's see. Let's check. Ex-con. Not all of them become crazy and want to kill innocent people. But, Muslim convert was charged with attempting to provide material support. New Year's is here soon. Do operations kill some kuffer, the overseas ISIS contact instructed, according to court records. Seems to me there's something here to do with a religion. I know it's not overwhelmingly the same religion. Just a few million have hijacked it, that's all. Luchman was caught with the help of paid confidential FBI informants, NBC News reported. Knives against people inside the restaurant. That's what, quote, that's what my plan is. That's on my mind. That's all I've been thinking about. Because I'm getting amped up to accept the fact that's what I got to do. He told an informant he'd like to smuggle a bomb into a club or bar and kidnap a couple of people and kill them. He said, I will take a life. I don't have a problem with that, he allegedly said. New Year's Eve machete attack. And he got this from his religion. A con who became a Muslim in jail. You hear this? And they let them convert to Islam in prisons now. For years now this has been going on. Put this poison in their brains. What do you expect to happen when you take criminals and convert them to a religion? And inside the holy book of the religion, they tell you to do things like this. They didn't write it as an addendum to the religion. I mean, let's be clear. I know you're shocked to hear it. How could he get away with telling you the truth on the radio in this day and age of total control of everyone's voice and their thoughts? How does he get away with telling you this? Emmanuel Luchman planned the New Year's Eve machete attack on Rochester diners on behalf of ISIS. Part of, I can't even read this. All I can say is thank God to whoever got this piece of garbage. You hear this? He has a criminal history dating back to 06. Including a conviction for robbery and several mental hygiene problems. That I never heard before. What's a mental hygiene problem? Okay. Governor Cuomo hailed the arrest an important reminder of the new normal of global terrorism. Well, he's right about that. That's the new normal. But of course, if we had leadership, it wouldn't be the new normal. It'd be a one-way ticket to Krapistan, where he came from. Even if he was born here, I'd send him to Krapistan as punishment. If he's found guilty, send him, drop him in a parachute over ISIS's territory. Let him go join his friends. Oh, I have a lot of other things that I could do. But I'm nobody. I'm just a talk show host. That's all. Okay, God bless America. Have a great 2015, whatever's left of it. For the rest of you, I'll be here for another hour. For good, for bad, or for worse.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Last hour of 2015. If you care to join the show and say you were on The Michael Savage Show in the year 2015, the phone number is 855-407-282. I can't repeat the stories that I did in the first 2 hours. It'll get you sick. If you heard him already, you're already sick from him. Flooding America with work permits, illegal aliens, 100,000 H-1B visas, so the pirates of Silicon Valley can take home more billions. What was your favorite moment from the Savage Nation this year? What do you want the Savage Nation to do next year? What was the worst story of the year? What do you fear Obama's going to do to this country in the coming year? That's really what's on everyone's mind. That's an interesting statement. I've always thought about it. That's what's on everyone's mind. If you say that's on everyone's minds, that would mean you have several minds. That's a tricky question, English-wise. That is the question that's on everyone's mind. That also could be wrong. I mean, everyone together, plural, has one mind? Or is it everyone's minds? Is that the correct way? Is there an English teacher in the audience? It's actually, I think, that's what is on everyone's minds. I think I'm fairly good on this, but, you know, this one is a perplexing one for an English speaker. 855, how evil are you? Now, let me read the headlines I picked for the day. Now, we got an age of terror. We got people stalking to kill with axes, knives, bombs. FBI is offering a $5,000 reward after Bacon founded Vegas Mosque. Way to go, FBI. Merkel warns Germans against refugee hate in New Year's speech. The enemy of the German people signals she'll use Germany's economic power to turn a record influx of refugees to the nation's advantage and urge citizens to reject social conflict fomented by nationalists with hate in their hearts. Now, I've told you nationalism is the only salvation for this nation. Now you understand what I mean by that. You understand who's flooding America. They're anti-American, anti-nationalist, internationalist, funded by George Soros. Their minds are poisoned against the very nation that gave them the power that they're using to destroy the nation. And she said that she will, well, you know what she's going to do. She said she's going to attack anyone in Germany who opposes illegal immigration with all the power of the government. Merkel said it is important not to follow those who, with coldness or even hate in their hearts, want to claim Germanness solely for themselves and exclude others. That is such a perversion of the reality of what she's doing. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking that they're letting this happen in Germany. Obama set to unveil curbs on gun sellers. Executive actions on gun control. I guess Jerry Seinfeld would approve of that. Larry David. Neurotic psychotics who are afraid of guns. See, guys like that would never have a gun in their house. They only have bodyguards who use guns. The reason they wouldn't have guns, in my opinion, is because they're on medication. They're afraid they'll use it on themselves in a moment of rage. Breitbart says that year 2015 was the year of anti-Christian jihad, where Christians are Allah's enemies. Wow. The year 2015 will go down in memory as a period of unprecedented Christian persecution throughout the world, resulting in thousands of deaths along with continuous targeted acts of violence and terror. Don't tell that to Angela Merkel. Don't tell that to Barry from Honolulu. Don't tell it to Seinfeld or Larry David, because they don't care. Targeted persecution now says that Christianity risks ceasing to be a truly global faith because of the exodus of believers from large swaths of the Middle East and Africa in an attempt to run away from violence perpetrated by Muslims. Larry, David, attention. Christians are fast disappearing from entire regions. Do you care about it, Larry? I know one of your shows that you did, Larry, you spit on a crucifix. I saw another story that appealed to me. Maybe this will be less anger-provoking. I'll try this one. From New York City to Harvard, the war on Asian success. New York Post. The year 2015 was a dismal one for American public education, at least by the numbers. But don't blame the kids. Parents are missing in action. Except most Asian American parents, that is. You see, Asian American parents tend to oversee their children's homework. They stress the importance of earning high grades. And they instill a belief that hard work is the ticket to a better life. And it pays off. Their children are soaring academically. But the outrage is that instead of embracing the example of these Asian families, school authorities and non-Asian parents want to rig the system to hold them back. It's happening here in New York City, in suburban New Jersey, and across the nation. You know why they're doing it? Because the other groups have absentee parents who don't care, so they're eliminating, for example, homework. Asians do their homework, and the others don't, so they're eliminating the homework. Instead of leaving behind the morons and the slackers, they're punishing the Asian Americans. For example, in New York City, Asian Americans make up 13% of students, yet they win more than 50% of the coveted places each year at the city's selective public high schools such as Bronx Science and Stuyvesant. And so the other, shall I say, groups, I won't even use the word races, we'll say the other groups, that's a less incendiary word, the other groups now want the Asians not to be admitted to these schools. They want, let's say, idiots and morons let into Stuyvesant, Bronx Science and Stuyvesant. Even when I was a kid, the smarter kids went to Bronx High School of Science and Stuyvesant. I didn't get in. I wasn't a good student. I wouldn't have gone anyway, but nevertheless, it was a prestigious thing to go there. And so it was meant for the smartest kids in those fields. And it's being done strictly to disenable Asian American students. Since they're outperforming all the others, they want to now cripple them. Could you believe this? How bad this has become? Many non-Asian parents are up in arms, complaining there's too much pressure by Asians and their own kids can't compete. In response, school superintendent David Adderhold apologized that school had become a perpetual achievement machine. And so, Superintendent Moron Adderhold canceled all the accelerated and enriched math courses for fourth and fifth grades, which were 90% Asian. And he eliminated midterms and finals in high school. Wait, are you ready for this? And he used a word that strikes terror in the hearts of Asian parents. He said schools had to take a holistic approach. That's a euphemism that Harvard uses to limit the number of Asians accepted to favor non-Asians who are not as smart. Superintendent Adderhold even lowered standards for playing in school music programs. He said students have a right to squeak. Never mind whether they practice. Even if they can't play well, he puts them into the orchestra. Can you believe what's going on? Now, the article says, of course, neither the supervisor or superintendent nor parents in charge of sports are indulging non-athletic kids with a right to fumble. What would be a right to fumble? It would be like me putting me on a football team when I was a kid. And if I drop the ball, I say, all right, he can't play. Oh, but he has a right to fumble. Put Savage on the football team. Put him on, because he can't make it on his own. So give him a right to fumble. In New York City, Mayor Bill DiStupidio and the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement Only of Colored People, wants to reduce the role the competitive exam plays in admissions for the city's 8 selective high schools in favor of a holistic approach. Well, that means robbing poor, largely immigrant and first-generation kids of the chance to study hard and compete for a world-class education. Now, you understand what this is about, don't you? You understand why America is descending into the toilet. They had this at Queens College where I went. When I went to Queens College as a kid, it was a very tough school. And the curriculum was based on the 100 great books at the University of Chicago, which we had to read. It was a very tough school. and only the smartest could get through that school with A's. Then after I left, years later, they had open admissions. They took the city's dregs and put them in there. The school went into the toilet bowl. Then years later, they realized they couldn't do this anymore. They had, like, basically a gangs running around the school who didn't want to study nothing. They turned it into a cesspool. So they reintroduced standards, and they brought the school back. Now we're going back to the cesspool level. Now let any moron into a college. Give him a book, and that's all. He's a college student already. 855-407. It's depressing, I admit. There's Fox News is showing the worst man in the history of America, Larry David, and they're laughing like he's something funny. You see the difference between me and Fox News? I'm looking at it. This is what they're glorifying now on Fox News, is one of the worst anti-Americans in the history of the media. Larry David, who created nothing. Oh, don't get me started on him. He is the antithesis of me. He's everything I left behind when I fled New York 40, 50 years ago. It was men like him that made me leave. I didn't want to be around them. I hated them. They were the worst people I knew. And look what they've done to the world. Oh, he's worth $1 billion, therefore he's great. Great man. He created Jerry Seinfeld, and another great man who works as a beard for Obama now. Anyway, what's the difference of complaining? You think I'm just complaining? You're wrong. Am I actually helping things by pointing these things out? That's what I got to ask you. Bill Cosby's accusers celebrate his sex assault charge. You know, I didn't bring this up. How many of them are fakers? How many of them really were assaulted by him? Do we know? How could you know what he did 15 years ago? How could this guy have had sex with all these women? Bill Cosby to face criminal charges in Pennsylvania for 04 sexual assault. What evidence could exist 11 years later? Can anyone explain that to me? She dated the guy. She went out with the guy. And then she says he did this, he did that to her. Former Playboy bunny P.J. Maston told the news Cosby lured her to a Chicago hotel room back in 1979? She too came out of the woodwork? How could they come out of the woodwork from 1979? How could they have any evidence from 1979? How is that possible? Meaning I could say this is an assault upon an innocent black man. But I didn't say that, did I? I could say it's an assault upon a man who may have done these things to a few women. It's impossible for him to have done it to all these women. Especially when his lawyer is Gloria Allred. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640. You know what I did during the break? Would have been better than the whole show. The guys couldn't believe it. Wish they could have recorded it. During the break, I spent 5 minutes calling a deli. I ordered a Greek salad. For $15, you know what they sent me? I swear to God, a plastic container full of chopped lettuce and croutons. There was not a tomato in it, a piece of feta cheese, nothing. I had to call the deli, wait for the manager. It was right out of a Seinfeld show. It was unbelievable to me. Oh, we're awfully sorry, sir. We don't know how it happened. We'll send you a Greek salad. So it'll arrive after the show. Perfect. Well, at least you won't have to put up with me gagging on food during a live performance. Mm-mm. You know what comes down to it? Truth is simple. It's as simple as that. Truth is quite simple. It's not that complicated. 8-5. I don't know. This Bill Cosby thing bothers me a lot. I'm not saying that I know. You know? How could there be so many accusers from 1979? Here's one that lured her to his room in 1979 and served her a glass of Grand Marnier. She's now like on a walker with a transfusion tree. She's remembering him. I'm sorry, I won't go there. She still remembers that incident with Bill Cosby? The next thing I knew, it was 4 a.m. and I woke up naked with this disgusting man next to me. So she waited until 2015 to get even with Bill Cosby? I don't know. How do you know? How could you prove this? How can you prove or not prove this? Look, if a guy molests a woman against her will, obviously, he should go to jail. Let's be clear. There's nothing more disgusting than rape, in my opinion. I'm on record with that. I'm not justifying. Don't get me wrong. But all these women, all of a sudden, you're telling me there's no payday in it for them with that kind of lawyer? A lawyer like this should be sent to ISIS. She ought to be the lawyer for ISIS, Gloria Allred, in my opinion, estimation. In my opinion, estimation. Anyway, let's not call on the Bill Cosby thing. I don't think you want to anyway. You're not going to call about that. I know what you want to talk about. You know, we got to lighten it up a bit here. Shelley on KSFO line 4, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael from Cincinnati, Ohio. I wanted to tell you, I love all your shows, but I really enjoy your sarcasm. And you did one on Christmas and political correctness about a week ago, and I really enjoyed that one.
I don't remember. I was probably in a good mood. You know, you have to be very sharp to do good sarcasm. Right now my head is hurting me. I have a slight migraine from the bad Chinese food, but I can't be that sarcastic right now because my mind is not as sharp as it should be.
Well, you are the master of sarcasm. And
What station do you listen to me on? Oh, you're listening on KSFO Online, right?
Yes, sir. I used to listen on 55KRC, but you're not on there now, so I listen online.
Yeah, I know that happens. I'll be down to one station and internet streaming soon.
Well, I've been listening to you for about 20 years now, and this is the first time I've called in. But on that Christmas show, you were really at your top on the sarcasm, and you said that holiday, we all know holiday is a code word for white Christian racist. I thought that was pretty good. That was pretty
good. When I got into the sarcasm about the white thing, the white privilege, white clouds, white Christmas, snow should be changed to multicultural snow, that show. Yeah, I stretched it on that one. All right, my friend, copy of Government Zero for Christmas. Oh, for New Year's goes out to you. Back in a minute. From New York City to Harvard, the war on Asian success, not one call. So I don't have one Asian listener. Throw that in the garbage. Live and learn, that's all. FBI offers $5,000 reward after Bacon founded Vegas Mosque. You hear this? This is your FBI at work. Ooh, Bacon. Bacon, get the bacon. Get the bacon dropper. Don't get the guy about to set off a bomb. You know, run for the guy who dropped the bacon, the moron, the racist moron. Spend your resources on the bacon dropper. Upside down world. Upside down world. All right, 855-47282 is the phone number. Let's see, which stories have I not got? Oh, wait a minute. You're in for a treat now. Here is Hillary Clinton. Of what she's going to do if, God forbid, they steal the election and give it to her. Let's say with all the resources of Soros, the Arkansas machine, the Democrat, socialist, Islamist money. God forbid she becomes president. We'll look back upon the wonderful days of Obama. I'm not making up the sound you're about to hear on clip 14. Listen.
If we treat this with the same seriousness that it deserves, you know, if we put the money into Alzheimer's that we otherwise would put into some additional military asset, just think of the lives it would save and the potential that it would perhaps create.
Listen, moronic Hillary, you're so stupid, it's frightening. Cut the military to put into Alzheimer's research? Think of the lives that will be lost if you do that, you moron. Not the lives that will be saved. Think of the lives that will be lost, idiot, if you cut the military. Wait, it gets even better to listen to this psycho liar as she panders now to the aged, pledging that as president she'll make hearing aids cheaper. I swear to God. You couldn't make this stuff up. You can't create it. Listen to 15 about hearing aids.
Let's sing that new song.
I think a lot of people thought we would figure out a way to solve in the Affordable Care Act, but we haven't yet. And it's something that I take really seriously because if you can't hear well, very often people kind of withdraw and they become more isolated. And in fact, some of the recent research shows that, you know, that can be a trigger for other kinds of conditions and diseases.
All right, so now hearing is now the biggest problem on the planet. Not ISIS's racism. Not flooding America with cheap workers to drive American wages down. It's hearing aids now. In clip 16, this is our cure for the world, is cheap hearing aids. Listen to this now.
It's a growing concern, in part because we have a lot more people living longer, in part because we have a lot more people losing their hearing earlier. Some people say it's because of loud music that some of us remember listening to. But for whatever reason it might be, there are a lot of issues around it. So I'm going to do what I can to make sure we make hearing aids financially available on a sliding scale so more people who need them can actually get them.
Why would anyone vote for this woman? She shows a lack of judgment. In this statement alone, it shows she's not fit for office. Is that what you're used to? In an age of terror, you're wearing out a hearing aid for a person whose hearing is going? It's beyond belief. People are dumber than I think. No, I'm not mocking the deaf. Please, my mother had a hearing aid. I had to buy it for her. But stop telling me that I'm not sensitive to people with hearing loss. That's not the point. What's this now? Carson, he's finished. Gone. Let him go already. Let him take a walk. I'm sick of him with the quiet act, by the way. I know underneath it there's a lot of anger. He said so. He said he had rage issues. Ran after someone with a hatchet, didn't he? A knife, a hatchet. Watch out for the guys who talk that quietly. That's all I can tell you. That's why we love Trump. Bombastic, out there, says what he means. But with this one, I like Carson because of the pediatric neurosurgeon and his politics were the opposite of Obama. I get it. But he's gone. His two top advisors flew the coop. So he's done. He'll get a $4 million book advance to sell 12 copies. I don't understand that. I'm a writer. I've got to struggle for every dime I make as a writer. Why do they give these $4, $5, $6 million advances? They earn back $200,000 at most. I think Hillary sold 12 books. They gave her a $19 million advance. What do the publishers get out of that? Figure it out. Figure it out. It's not a cocktail party. They're all holding companies anyway. Publisher. Who knows who the real holding company is? Okay, we got some good callers out there. Let's run through them. Let us go to WMAL. Adrian, you've been holding a long time. Make your point quickly. Fire away.
The nuclear deal with Iran was the biggest, most terrible thing Obama's done. I mean, it's...
Why? Just because Iran is threatening to wipe America off the planet? Isn't that what Obama wanted?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, what do you say? It's a bad deal from the point of view of an American, but if you're Obama, it's a good deal. They're threatening us with weapons. They're threatening our warships now with rockets. This is good for Obama. This is what he wanted.
He's working for the other side. He has to be.
I wouldn't say that. I don't know what side he's on. Do you?
He's not on our side, that's for sure.
Well, that's we know for sure. That we can all agree upon. He's not on the side of America, that's pretty sure. That's why a guy like Seinfeld had him on his show. They're part of the same ice cream cake. All right, copy of zero goes out to you, staying alive. Julie, I don't know your station, I can't see it, but welcome to the program.
Hi, Michael. I think that the best time that you are at your best on the radio is when you use your celebrity to make a difference like you did when you got Maddie back to the serviceman. I mean, within a day, generals were on that, and I don't know what the end of the story, I mean, is, updated story, but that was...
Well, there's a little bitterness in me. There's a little bitterness in me in that, I have to tell you. I gave that guy about $20,000 to buy a van. I never heard from him since. Not even a Christmas, nothing. Not even an email saying, thank you, Michael Savage, nothing. And this has happened to me before. It's happened with cops. It's happened with soldiers. It's happened with recipients of my scholarship fund. Not one of them sent a single email saying, thanks for the scholarship, Dr. Savage. It made a difference in my life. $20,000 to a kid? They think I owe it to them? They want me to do another scholarship fund? You have no idea the level of ungratefulness in the world.
But we all know you made a difference. You made a difference there.
I know, so I'm supposed to say, well, I made a difference, and the happiness should be in me and knowing I made a difference. I'm not that kind of person. I kind of need thanks every once in a while from the guy I got the dog back or the soldiers I got out of the brig or the kids I gave scholarships to, not an email saying, thank you, Dr. Savage, nothing. You know, it's enough to make you really more cynical than you are if you're a cynic. Anyway, a copy of Government Zero goes out to you. Thanks for the comment. I like to help people. But I'm not like, the show The Millionaire where he gave the money out. Remember how he was anonymous when I was in the 50s? He didn't need anything, Freddie. He was such a great man. Well, he was fictional. He was a fiction. You know, if a human gives something, they usually want someone to say thank you. Don't think I'm going. Is it a human condition? Let's say you want to help somebody. Yes. And it gives you pleasure. But don't you want them to be grateful? So what? You're supposed to be like, oh, well, I don't need thanks. I'm such a big man that let him have that van with the dog. Let him ride around as I know at night as I fall asleep that I made a difference in the world. And all of the children that I gave $20,000 college, let them enjoy it. I don't need their thanks. Well, I do need their thanks. So they're asking me, you want to do a scholarship fund again for the next year? I'm not so sure right now. Not with the level of ungratefulness out there. Maybe I'll do the fund for something else, like for dogs or an elephant or saving elephants better than a kid. Let them go work at McDonald's with their pimply faces. Let them work till 2 in the morning and know what it's like. No one gave me a scholarship. I worked 2 jobs and took a bus in the slush. That's all. I'm not complaining. I'm saying that's what it was. I knew if I wanted to climb out of poverty, no one was going to help me out of poverty. I had to do it myself. Buses and subways and you have no idea the road, what it is to succeed. You think it was given to me because I'm white? Are you kidding me? Think someone reached down, oh, hello, white boy. Here's a gift for you. No, there was no such thing. This is nonsense about white privilege, that there's an inside track and a wing. Yeah, if you were rich, there was an inside track, that's for sure. Your father got you into colleges you were not admitted to. They call it a legacy admission, right? You are a moron, but they let you in because your father gave money. Well, I didn't have a legacy admission. I had a slush admission. Was walking, walking slush with rubber boots on to the bus. That was the admission I had. Then take a job after school. I'm not complaining. When you're young, you can do anything. You think you can conquer the world, and in a way you can. You can move mountains if you have faith in yourself. And just keep going and going and going and going and going and going. Nothing stops you. Nothing. Not one, no matter what. And you're going to have 1,000 impediments. But the day you think the impediments are put there because it's unfair, because life should be easier, you're finished. You're never going to make it. Nothing will help you. You'll have a resentment factor that will cripple you the rest of your life. You have to expect impediments in everything you try to do. I'll never forget when I was 18 years old, I went to a sales seminar in Manhattan from a bunch of con men. I don't know what they were selling. Like a get-rich-quick scheme. You went to some number, you went to... I answered an ad. So I sat in the room, and some slick con men, old and young in a room, they were really sharp. And they were like, they taught you how to sell. I don't know what they were selling, but they gave me a sales book. To this day, I remember what they told. In the sales book, there was a line I'll never forget. It said, remember, the sale begins when the customer says no. That has worked for me my entire life. That's 100% true. I was a timid kid. I didn't know how to sell, but if someone said no, I went away. Let's say I was even selling a newspaper route or a magazine.
Hey, would you like a magazine?
No, go away, kid. Oh, okay. Kids are scared. They're insecure. That's what they call kids. You have to learn to put on a shell and make believe you're not scared. But I learned that from them, remember the sale begins when the customer says no. I don't want to be that was true even with dating girls, I got to tell you the truth. Am I wrong? What do you think? Every girl, even if she likes you, is going to say no, isn't she? That's the nature of the boy and girl thing. Hey, Judy, would you like to go out Saturday? No, don't call me again. Oh, okay. The kid hangs up. He's insecure. Moves to San Francisco. That's the last you hear of him. Never again. He's shattered because she said no to him. But the sale begins when Judy says no. You got to call Judy 10 times till Judy says yes. Just to get you off her back, she'll say yes. Let's say you're an ugly kid with pimples and she's the most beautiful cheerleader. If you keep calling her, just keep calling her. She'll say yes just to get rid of you. She figures she'll go out with you just to have you stop already. And then she may actually like you. She'll find out, he's not so bad, even though he's ugly with pimples. And he's a conservative. I might just, you never know. I'm not kidding. Come on. I'm not kidding at all. Well, where are we already? I can't, I'm trying to drag this out because I don't want it to end. Do you realize that when this show ends in 10 minutes, it's the end of 15 for me? Tomorrow's a best of. I'm not on because no one listens tomorrow. I don't know what they do. Rose Bowl, football. No one listens to radio tomorrow. It's a famous, So we got a great best of, but I'm not going to be here. I'll be somewhere. I may be flying back to San Francisco tomorrow. I don't know what I'm doing. I could stay the weekend and be back in L.A., stay the L.A. I'm kind of liking L.A. I like the scene. And tonight's party should be fun a little bit, an hour max. How am I going to stay 4 hours with Yorkshire pudding and roast beef? Yeah, I don't care if they were serving. I can't stay. How can you put in 4 hours with people? What a shift. That is longer than this show. If I get there at 8, he wants me to stay till 12:30. 4.5 hours, I can't do that. My show is 3 hours. How do you excuse yourself from a party? You shouldn't go. You say you have a migraine or something. I said to him, I said, look, I'll come at 8, but I'll probably leave at 10. No, you have to stay to the end. Right away, I'm finished before I walk through the door. Robert, what's the way out of that one? Say my wife, something happened with her, that she got a migraine? She isn't going to let me get away with that. She's never used me as an excuse. I learned that years ago. I get my head cut off if I use her as an excuse. Are you joking? No. She didn't want me to. She says, you know, be a man. You want to leave? Then tell him you're leaving. Don't use me. Even to this day, I mean, you got to come up with, like, how do you get out of a thing like that? I don't know. I'll have to figure it out. By Monday, I'll have an answer. Uh-oh. That's it. The clock turned red. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. Very sad to end the show on this note. Police in Munich, Germany warn of imminent threat of terror attack. They closed down 2 train stations. Thank you, Angela Jerkel. Angela Jackel, who is flooding Germany with over 1 million Muslim refugees, primarily males of military age, should be arrested for what she's doing to that nation. And tonight we see police in Munich are asking people to stay away from the city's main train station and a second station in the city's passing neighborhood because of, quote, serious imminent threat of a terror attack. Now, who do you suppose is the serious threatening element? Would it be Christians? No. Jews? No. Hindus? No. Buddhists? No. You know who, but you can't say it, can you? They know who it is, they know who they are, they know what districts they live in, and because of the insanity of the communists who are running their country, they cannot preemptively arrest them. They have to wait until their children are laying in a pool of blood. Gene, you're going to be the last caller of the year. Gene, fire away. What's your last comment, please?
Okay, Mike, I want to tell you that my favorite show was when you interviewed Carlo Gambino's son, because I'm 70 years old, and I shook hands with Carlo Gambino at my reception wedding in 1969. It was a couple of my father's mob friends. So I just
unbelievable. So you're responsible for the tainted olive oil, huh?
That's it.
He was great. I loved him on the show. The thing is, though, I wish he could have stopped the San Bernardino. He didn't.
No.
Okay. Hey, Gene, man, I'm moving next week from BAP, you know, to KLIF, another station in town. Not against, I didn't ask for it. They're playing checkers with my show. Gene, I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero. Thanks for listening. God bless you. May you have a great 2016. Good night, everybody.